Hey, besties.
Welcome to the BFF Bookcast.
We're your hosts, Teresa and Katie.
Before we jump in, we just want to remind everyone that what we discuss are our own thoughts and opinions. Just remember, we are here to have a good time.
And as always, please check trigger warnings before reading any books we will be discussing. And beware, we curse like the Bat Boys probably do during their annual snowball fight.
Hey, Katie.
Hey, T.
How you doing?
You know, we're alive. We've made it.
We did make it, and it's Friday.
It's Friday.
Gotta get down on Friday.
I was on a client call just before my lovely 8:30 in the morning client call. They're so lucky. They're like wonderful people. And they're sitting there, and they're in Miami, first and foremost. So they're like, oh, like, what are your weekend plans? And one of the girls has a Taylor Swift-themed party. She's wearing a sequined 87 jersey. Like
okay.
A really cute mini skirt. She's telling me all these plans. The other woman's going out for like a nice dinner and drinks with their friends. They're like, what are you doing? I was like, I'm going to be watching Secret Life of Pets for like the 80th millionth time.
Of course.
Have a drink for me.
Well, we're supposed to be hanging out tomorrow.
I know.
Okay.
That's fine. I'm talking about today.
I'm just saying you will be getting out of the house a little bit.
Yes. Yes. A smidge.
Smidgen.
I don't even mind. It's not even like being like, but Tom and I always say it's not a matter of being home. Like I'm a homebody. So like I don't really mind. And when you have space, it's not awful. Like you do want to still get out, but it's not the worst. But like when you have to wrangle toddlers the whole weekend, like sometimes the weekends are more daunting than the work week. So like,
yeah,
you have fun. You have fun with your plans. I'll be home.
I'll just be home. Anyway, sorry. We're recording late because Katie Jean was traveling and then she had a stomach bug. And so
it's been a doozy.
Instead of this coming out on Wednesday, it'll come out today, Friday. I'm just going to upload it same day. Crazy.
Let's just throw that out there. This is like in the moment, you know, they're getting it raw and well, they always get it raw.
Somebody who's definitely getting it raw is everybody in the Riders quadrant because I don't think there are condoms there. I know there is contraception, but.
Well.
Anywho.
I'm going to shut up for 7 seconds.
Anywho, if you haven't picked up on it or if you haven't read the title of this episode, we are speaking about Onyx Storm by Rebecca Yarros, book 3. She should have just called it the Fourth Wing series. It's the Empyrean series. I've never heard anybody call it that.
Same. Literally never. Literally never.
Literally never. And like, yes, I get it, but still it's.
Let's talk about it for 7 seconds and then we can jump into Onyx Storm. But yeah. Like, did you ever wonder that most of the time, I'm thinking of like a couple different like scenarios, but I feel like the first book in a fantasy series, for the most part, like not your Throne of Glass, like there's some other things, but like we always call the series by the first book's title.
Yeah.
So like just name the series that title. Like Played
right.
A Prisoner is
yeah,
different.
Yeah, like Akatar, Throne of Glass.
Yeah. Like,
yeah.
SJM is also just like a different breed of human. So I think she's smart in that concept that she probably, or someone told her, like, you should just name the series. Like, this is the first book. This is going to be your series name. Because that's what most people refer to. Like, even like, I'm thinking like the Book of Azrael. That's not the series. I think it's Gods and Monsters.
Yeah.
But like, no, it's the Book of Azrael series.
Yeah. No, that's like, I like never thought of it that way. I'm even thinking like, Caraval and Once
yeah.
Upon a Broken Heart.
That's
yeah,
not the
I just
name,
like,
but it's that's what
yeah,
I call
it. Yeah, and that's what we'll continue to do. So anyway, this is your 5 second
PSA.
Warning if you haven't read it to
get
turn
off.
This off. Yeah, but without further ado, no, I don't. I mean, again, do we have to go? No, I'm not going to do a synopsis. You know what this is about. We're jumping right in from the end of Iron Flame. Our boy Zayden has turned Venon. He has sucked the magic out of the ground. And now, what does that mean for our love, Violet Sorengale? And what does it mean for our friend group, and basically what does it mean for our baby boy, Zayden? That's basically what this whole book is about.
Basically. So I'm going to start off by saying I saw a meme, thanks to someone sending this to me, and I can't unsee this now, and I think it's fucking hysterical and so fucking accurate. Someone sent a meme of two girls. They were doing a podcast, and they were talking about this book, and they're like, oh my God, the fucking dragon's name. I just blanked out on the dragon's name.
Taryn,
thank you. Is such a dad. And not, yeah. not a daddy, a dad. He's got the Graco Carsey on one side, yeah. and he's got his baby carrier on the other. And I'm like, I can't not see that anymore.
Wait, because you said the whole dad, not daddy. And like, Taryn to me has always just been like this like grumpy old man.
Grumpy old man. He's a grumpy ancient old man.
And like, yeah, obviously he gets down with his mate. Like we know that they bone and whatever. But somebody was like, oh, like unhinged theory. And I took this picture of it because I was like, there's just no way that anybody actually believes this. But her unhinged theory is that Taryn will become human and get with Violet. And that like
that's
they are
disgusting. Ending. I can't know.
First of all, that's just not going to happen. He's not going to become human. Two, he already has a mate. Three, he is basically like Violet's father in Dragon. Yes.
Theories. Let's talk about theories for a second. I don't care that people theorize. I think that's awesome. Use your brain. I can't do that. I have no theories. I have no breadcrumbs to follow. I'm here for the vibes. You and I say this all the time. People don't like certain books because they theorize and then they're pissed when they're wrong.
Yeah.
You're not the writer. So get off your horse. Ooh,
we saw that.
That was really mean today. Oof.
No, I was going to bring it up because I've seen some people who were like, I thought this was going to happen and it didn't. And like, first of all, the series isn't over. So just because there's breadcrumbs leading a certain way, there's still two more books. A good writer, and especially like a good fantasy series, they're not going to spoon feed you everything. No. And there's two more books left. So like, maybe she is sprinkling breadcrumbs in. That might happen in the last book or in the next book or whatever, but not every book is going to get wrapped up. There's going to be plot holes.
There has to be
because it's a series. Hopefully they get filled in. I assume they will. You can't call something a plot hole until you get to the end and you're like, hey, this thing happened 3 books ago that like we never heard about.
Then you can call it a plot hole or like a mystery that was never tied up. Like say what you want, but I'm with you. Like we still have two more. If she started to wrap things up in book 3, I'd be like, then why are we getting 2 more?
Right. And like, there's still, I know people are upset about the ending and they're like, oh, like whatever. There's still 2 more books.
Kind of like the ending.
I love the ending.
I had to listen to it twice because I was like, did I black out for 12 hours and miss something? But like, that was awesome because it just leaves this gaping open hole for like, all of the next, but like, I don't think people sometimes understand like fantasy series that are long like that. Kudos to those who want to take that on because I think it's so hard to come up with so many plot points, connect all the dots, make it make sense, give readers what they want, bait them enough to continue, but like still make it all make sense and not be too long of a, like, you know what I mean? Like that's hard.
Yeah, and I think that, I mean, like, I was not surprised with how the book ended. Like, I was not surprised with Zayden completely succumbing to the magic to save Violet.
We kind of had to think that that was coming. We are 3 books in, and there's only 2 more to go. So, like...
Maybe I was expecting a marriage at some point. Maybe not in the way that it happened. But, like, it made sense. Like, I was expecting one of, again, we can just jump into theories. Bodhi or Garrick are my top 2 choices on who, like, turned with him. Mm-hmm. Like, whoever his brother that he's, like, upset about in the cave. It could be Bodhi or Garrick. At first I thought Bodhi, then I thought Garrick. Now I'm back on the Bodhi train. I think, regardless of who it is, all 3 of them are together.
I think there's going to be one of them that's, like, kind of towing the line of like helping, but like, You know what I mean? Like kind of playing both sides of everything.
I feel like that's why maybe Bodhi changed. Garrick is with them because Garrick can like walk through space basically. So he can like go back and forth between wherever yes. they are and like Erasia and kind of deliver. Because listen, Zayden, yes, like you lose like your soul when you like do this thing. But at the end, he's whatever. Like Violet's I Love You gets through. It cracks his ice. And he's still talking to Sigale, like, through the bond.
Yeah.
As himself. Like, he's very aware of, like, what he's done, but also of, like, his love for Violet and how he wants to save her.
I feel like, and I don't know if I'm just, like, this was the solution in ACOTAR, but, like, I feel as if love has something to do.
No, it definitely does. Because, first of all, the amount of times that like it is reiterated that they love each other and like there's no cure, there's just so many like different reiterations that I'm like, oh, it seems too easy that like love is the cure, but love is like the one thing that's tethering him to his yeah. soul and to like his humanity.
Like it's not going to be the end all be all, but I do think there's that's a major component into like breaking through that the venom.
Yeah, and I think it's just, like, love in general is kind of, like, a theme throughout the whole thing. Like, familial mm-hmm. love and what that means. Like, between, like, you know, she had a very tense relationship with her mom, her, like, love with her sister, her, like, her good friends, like, Rhiannon and Riddick and all of them. Like, the love that they share. There's, like, love is an overarching theme.
The whole book of book three, I feel like the whole overarch is like words of affirmation between yes. the two of them. There, which is, I just don't, I mean, yeah, I liked the communication so much more between the two of them this book, but I'm like, she's really hammering home this whole, like, we love each other thing. Like this has got to play into something. Like,
yes,
sure. You could be someone who is big on words of affirmation, but there's a lot. There's something there.
I love words. Words of affirmation, my love language, compliment me. Like, that is, like, I need that. Like, I need you. If you don't tell, like, every night before bed, do you love me? Like,
yeah.
Tell me one thing you love about me. I'm literally, like, I'm a psychopath. So I loved it. Because I also think that this is the first time we're seeing Zayden kind of, like, trip up. Like, he's not feeling confident. Like, he is, like, very much kind of, like, feeling, I feel like he, book two, Iron Flame, we saw Violet kind of take a step back and trip up. And we were like, ooh, like, we didn't really like that for her character. I think Zayden's character needed it. Because yeah. you can't have this, like, super confident, super strong, all powerful. I think that his character needs this, like, kind of arc of, like, him taking a step back. It lets Violet's character shine.
Yes.
And it allowed her character to grow a lot this book. Physically, like mentally, emotionally, I feel like she really had to step in to, like, I don't know, I guess help him. And she's the main character of the book. So, like, we want to see her being the yeah. best. So I think it just made sense.
And you know what I like? That she's writing in a way that makes these characters believable, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you can't, like you're saying, like, you can't just have this one alpha male that's just dominating the whole time. Everyone has slip ups. Everyone has step backs. Everyone has, like, things they need to work through. It makes it believable.
Yes.
Same goes for Violet. Like, we know that she has some, I was going to use the word issues and I don't like that word.
She's got chronic illness.
Thank you. Thank you. She's got chronic illnesses. She's not letting it hinder her. She's finding ways to kind of work around them. But we know she's an underdog in book one. It's clear as day. She's got to prove herself and, like, find ways to level up and compensate for what she can or cannot do. I like that with this book. It's not that she, like, just, like, I'm going to be the leader and here we go. And that's that. Like, she's kind of forced into this role. And it's yep. a matter of, does she get put in this role and, like, succumb to, like, oh, well, I do have some trouble with my strength and this and that. Like, or does she try to overcome it and be like, how can I use what I have and my dragon and my friends and my family? Like, let's think big picture and move forward. I like that that's the situation she was put in. Then, like, all of a sudden this just conqueror comes up and was like, I've got this. You know what I mean? Like, again, yeah. it makes sense. And that's what I liked about this book.
Yeah, she's a reluctant leader.
Yeah.
Right? Like, she's not this power-hungry, power-thirsty character. She is a great leader. She is very good on a team. Like, she's a very good resource to have for a team. And I think, like, her reluctance to lead only further, like, it made me love her a lot more because, again, she's not this power-hungry person, but she's being put into these leadership roles because she is so mm-hmm. good. Like, and she works so hard. And you don't have to be the strongest person to be a leader.
No.
Like, physical strength does not make a good leader. Physical strength makes a good soldier.
Yes.
You could be a leader with a lot of physical strength. That's also great. But, you know, Zayden is a good leader and he has physical strength. Violet is a good leader and she has like a lot of like mental strength.
Yes.
And the two of them together, which we are going to get them back together, but the yes. two of them together makes so much sense as far as leadership goes.
I agree. I also like, even in the end when like Brennan's questioning her, like, we know Zayden would only ever choose Violet over ever. Like, there's just like so many smart moments where I was like, mm-hmm. this makes sense. Like, we know what Zayden would do in certain situations. He would literally kind of say, F you all, I'm going to say Violet.
And he's told us that a million yeah. times.
But like, that's what I love about this series. Like, it just, like, I know this is so stupid, but like the common sense of this book, I'm like, it makes sense for exactly who she's been writing this whole time.
Yes.
And I, again, going down that tunnel of writing series, I feel like sometimes it's really easy to lose who your characters originally were. And like,
yeah.
I just feel like sometimes people just get so off track. I mean, I'd probably derail my characters if I ever tried to write something of a series, but like, so no harm, no foul, but it's nice to see. I'm like, this makes complete sense.
Yes. Because you want your characters to grow, but at the core be who they are.
Yes.
And I think she did a really good job at that. Like, in book one, we have Violet, you know, when she's doing the parapet and when she's doing the gauntlet, she's reciting history facts and stuff to herself yeah. as like a way to calm herself down.
That makes sense.
yeah. And like, you know, we lose a little of that in Iron Flame because her confidence is completely shaken and she's reeling from like the death of like one of her good friends. And you just see her kind of going through this like sense of like, who am I? What, like, what is going on? She like really like is struggling. And so to come back into Onyx Storm and she's really using like that brain power mm-hmm. that like we saw so much of in the first book is so nice to see.
I agree. I will say, oh, I had a whole thought and then I just went out the window.
Well, I have more thoughts.
Keep going.
I was going to say the character growth for even characters like Riddick, who fan favorite. Okay, I've always loved Riddick, but complete fan
He's
favorite.
He's been good the whole time, but this was like a level up. I was like, ooh, hello.
Yes, and what I want to say, okay, not to bring up another series where we're talking about Onyx Storm, but we have said this in a lot of previous podcast episodes. I'm going to bring up Geraldine Grew in Zodiac Academy and how she was like a character who was really good for mm-hmm. some like break, like, you know, to break up the seriousness, some comedic relief. Great. And then they kind of like took her character and they made her so dumb.
Yes.
As like the only thing she could contribute was humor. That
yes. And then it became like bad humor.
Yes. Riddick is literally there in the first two books. A lot of it is comic relief. And he's part of like the core four, him, Sawyer, Rhiannon, and Violet. Like, we love Riddick. But this book, especially him even saying, like, just because I crack jokes doesn't mean that I'm not strong, doesn't mean that I'm not a good mm-hmm. fighter, doesn't mean that I don't deserve to be on this like special quest mission. And I like love that he could be very serious, could also still be like his little sarcastic, like, whip smart, cracking joke self. But I like that she didn't like that. I like that Rebecca grew his character into being like more complex and yes. a little bit deeper instead of just being there for the comedic relief.
I agree. Again, depth. Like, not like, maybe there are people out there that just like are funny and take nothing serious. And well, we know that there's people like that in the world. Like, I like yeah. that for him. Like, we do know that there's something else kind of driving him forward. And he does have some seriousness and like understands the complexity, but also like can zone in, but also then can like release some humor for everyone to kind of like maybe take that deep breath and like, okay.
Yeah.
I will say, I think I was listening, I was doing a hybrid at first and I kind of switched more towards listening to kind of read another book and literally I was laying down in bed and like reading 10 pages and like closing my eyes. Like that's not helpful in a fantasy series. Like get you nowhere. Like get you like through like a couple of scenes and then you're done. But two things that I thought were just like, not even eye twitch, but just, okay. I think she really listened to what people were saying in book two and leveled herself up in book three. Even mm-hmm. her writing. Her writing's always been phenomenal. She somehow made it better. Which, like, I don't even know how you do that when you're already amazing. But she did it. I think she took the whole, we don't have a lot of explicit scenes in book two. I think we had too many sprinkled in book three.
See, like, I think you saying that is so funny because I was like, oh, I feel like there's like no spice in this book. I feel like there was two sex scenes and then like tension.
There was six, which I guess in the grand scheme of things is not that many. And I could be wrong on that number, but it definitely is way more than two. I think at one point I was just like, there's so much. The first 50% of the book, I'm like, I'm really enjoying this.
Yeah.
The fuck are we? And what are we doing again? Like there is so much they're doing. That I was, not that I was getting lost. I thought it was purposeful. They were short segments. They weren't drawn on. So don't come at me saying like, not you, but like, you know what I mean? Like, but there was a lot they were doing and trying to do because they're on a time constraint. We know we have X amount of days for War and Zayden kind of switching. So
yeah.
I get what we're doing, but I think because there was just so much that whenever there was a spicy scene, I was like, okay, I don't want this right now.
Yeah.
I need to know what we're doing and why we're doing it and what are we getting.
I was going to say, we could just jump into that because I know that was a big complaint for a lot of people. The whole like, where are we? Who are we?
Yeah. And I thought we were in one place and then all of a sudden like two pages later, we were somewhere else. And I was like,
And in the beginning, because I was taught, like, I've gotten comments, people being like, oh, well, like, there was a guide in the beginning of the book. I'm like, there was a guide for all the characters that I know. I know yes. Riddick. I yes. know, I don't know all the dragon names, but, like, I know Riddick. I know he does ice. I know his dragon. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I know who Mira is. I know who Brennan is. I know who Rhiannon is.
You know who, like, the core people are.
I know who the core people are. I needed a guide for basically everyone from Eurasia that we met in Iron Flame. Like,
yes.
I was like, Tissa, whatever her name. I'm like, who is this? I forget her. She's like, she's weaving runes at the end, like during the battle. Felix, I like forgot about in Iron Flame. And then like, I was like, oh, he was the guy who was like kind of helping Violet with her signet. But those are the people whose names I needed. And I think, and I forget what it was called, and I'm so sorry, but like the council of like, I guess, like the council in the first few chapters where they're like between like the Navarians and the Eurasians, when they're kind of trying to come up with like a truce, I was like, wait, some of these people, like, who are they?
Yeah.
Like Llewellyn being a man and also a place.
Place.
Which makes sense because like Zayden Ryerson, they call it Ryerson House, but it's in Eurasia. So like, I was like, Llewellyn is a man and a place. There was just a lot that I was like, wait, hold on a sec.
Yeah. And that's coming. Okay. So just to stop, just in case no one knows, you did a re-listen leading up to this. Like it wasn't like you're like a me who just didn't do anything and went into this from the last time. I read Iron Flame when it came out last year. That's it. You did a re-listen right before leading up to it. And I think you what, had like a day or two in between before.
I finished Iron Flame on Monday and I started on Xstorm Tuesday. So there you was like, wait, who?
So, okay. So that says something like you just came out of this and still were like, wait, what?
And like, I will be the first person to admit that I am a dumb bitch, but I also am very good at, I think like with fantasy series, remembering characters and like remembering plot points. So there were just some things that I was like, wait, what?
Yeah.
And again, it's not just remembering characters either. It's remembering the character, the signet, and the dragon for
a lot.
The most part. There's a lot to know. So I just wish that the guide in the beginning was more comprehensive. And I think with the islands, I wish that there was a separate map of them.
Mm-hmm.
Because in my head, I'm like, I can't comprehend. Are we going north or south? East or west? Like, I just wish that the map was more.
How far are they? What are like? What is happening? Yeah, like it was a lot. And again, I understand. I also feel like because it was so bouncing around to get things, in the beginning we kept hearing about the pass lock on the books from her dad.
Yep.
She doesn't want to get it wrong. I get it. So we kind of like. I don't want to say hammered that in, but like there was a couple of moments where like we kept bringing this up. We then collect the books again, where I can't remember, but we collected a bunch of books from that lady who was like, oh, you're whatever, you know, daughter, blah, blah, blah. Here you go. They're all past locked. And then we just never talk about the books ever again in that this book. And I'm like, I get it. You can't, not saying we should have wrapped it up, but like, I don't know. I'm like, if we're trying to like find a solution, like, don't you think we should be working on those passwords or something? Like, I don't know.
I mean, they did. They pass locked. Maybe not all of them. Yeah.
Too much fucking going on.
Because then she ends up giving them, she gives them to Mira. The password, it was like supposed to be like her mom's first love. I think it was, had something to do with like her mom's dragon, I think.
Oh, well, there you go, folks. There's too much going on.
I forget what the password was, but they did okay. Figure it out. Because then she gives them to Mira to read.
Mm.
And like,
but again, why? They were left for Violet. So why is she passing them off to Mira? Like, even when Mira's like bleeding out, she's like, there's things we should have talked about. Like, they were saying that, like, my dad was saying that the two of us need to talk together. I'm like, then why?
Yeah, though, something that pissed me off about Violet in, like, two key scenes was at the end when Sloane is like, Eric told me to give this to you. And she's like, oh, we're in the middle. We're about to battle. Like, I can't do it. Like, what is this, a little package? Like, I'm sure that if somebody's giving something to you
in the middle of a battle,
then it's important. And like, yes, obviously then she grabs it and she kills Theophany and like whatever. Fine. But then also with like the Temple of Dune, right? Like during the one battle at Eratia before the dragon comes and like, you know, blasts their ward stone for them. Eric is like, protect the temple. And she's like, I have all these, and he's like, protect the temple. And she kind of like doesn't like take his whatever. And then she realizes that he's a precog at the end. And like, he was like, oh, protect the temple because she's going to need a favor from Dune.
Yes.
The marriage to Zayden. So like Eric literally saw all of this playing out. And he's literally just like sitting there, like on his dragon, like
spitting out facts, saying shit, like literally just like, whatever.
What also
bothered me with Violet when they were at that place where like the luck thing happened. And the guy gave her the compass. Whether I'm off my mark or not, if I am, I'll be the first to raise my hand. But she was so quick to dismiss the compass, what was said, and basically did Zayden. She's like, this doesn't work. Like, they made too much of a point to be like, let's just throw it in like a box. Like, screw this. I'm like, don't you think maybe you should take a step back and be like, use it well? Like,
yeah. The compass is going to be something, and whatever that box that they gave Zayden that had like nothing in it,
that's going to be something also.
Yeah. I heard somebody say like, that's like where like they can like put his soul in the box until they can figure out a cure or something. I don't really know how that happens. And like, yes, it's magic, but it's not like fairy magic. It's like,
yeah,
it's like war magic. Again, I don't know. Who knows? Maybe like Sloane can like siphon something out of Zayden, put it in the box until like they can cure him. We'll see.
We'll see.
Sloane and Dane are definitely going to fuck.
110%.
Dane is for it. Mitten little kitten.
Yes.
And Sloane will definitely get over her. Yeah, she'll get over. And I thought that after Iron Flame, like, we didn't hate Dane anymore. And I still keep seeing videos of people being like, I thought we hated Dane. Why are we all, like, rooting for him and Sloane? I'm like, I stopped hating Dane literally after, like, five chapters in Iron Flame.
Same. I got over that real quick. I got over that horse. I don't hold a grudge. I let it go.
I hold a grudge, but... Like, I hold a grudge against Kale Westfall because he's a piece of shit and he never really apologized to... He never apologized.
No, he didn't apologize.
No. And Dane did apologize. Dane?
Yes.
Dane helped her escape when she was being tortured. He apologized. He literally... And Rebecca has said this on tour. She's like, he was a 21-year-old boy who trusted his father. And then when he realized, oh shit, my dad might be evil, he turned... And was like, fuck you, dad. And now he's part of like the rebellion or the revolution, as they call it.
Again, that's human
error.
That's something that you and I could easily do. Like, I'm going to listen to the word of like a parent or best friend or family, like a mentor, anyone. And then if they are and they end up being wrong, okay, then you just switch gears. Like, and you're right. Like, he's done everything since then to show loyalty to like what he now believes in because his eyes are open. Like, yeah. These are the same people that probably flip out about not getting a second chance in life, but they're not giving Dane a second chance.
Yes. And also, like, yes, was he annoying in Fourth Wing with Violet?
Yes. Of course.
But, okay, you're my best friend. If you were chronically ill and you had, like, all of these different health concerns and I thought you were going to die, I would also try to get you out of the situation you were in, whether you wanted my help or not. I'd exactly. be like, I know better. Yes. You're going to listen to me.
Yes. You're doing what you think is right for the person that you care
about. Right. Like, he was annoying, but he wasn't evil.
Exactly. He was really fucking annoying, but definitely not evil. He had good intentions. It was just annoying.
Yes.
Like Rebecca said, 21 years old. I'm sure I was fucking annoying at 21. I'm still annoying and I'm 34.
I was so annoying at 21.
Like sometimes I look back and I'm like, ew. Ew.
Another thing I want to talk about is something that was reiterated over and 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 over again was the balance. So basically anybody who has like X power on one side, there's like a balance on the other.
Yes.
So we see once Zayden turns Venom, that Lynx, I think was the guy's name, he manifests shadows. So what does that kind of mean? Because if we cure Zayden, what does that mean? Do we now have two shadow wielders? The whole thing was like the six, like the original six, which we learned about in Iron Flame. They're the ones who made the ward stones and like whatever, like cast the Venom out the first time. And there was a lightning wielder, a shadow wielder, and I don't remember what the other ones were. I don't know if we actually know what they are, but the shadow wielder and lightning wielder are like constantly brought up. So now is it going to be like, oh, we're going to have to like hang out with this like new kid because he's like the shadow wielder and like Violet's going to have to like train him or something. He's obviously not going to be as good or powerful as Zayden, but whatever. But we know, okay, so Violet's signet, which we'll get to the dreamwalking in a bit, but her lightning signet, it's pure. They say that it's like pure power that just manifests it as lightning, but that it's not technically lightning, which I think like, is obviously going to play a big role because can she manifest it in different ways? Or like, what does this pure power mean?
Yes.
And is there somebody on the other side who's also pure? The whole balance thing is very
intriguing
because
but also, what does that mean for like war, for fighting? Like there's just so much at play here. Like you think you have strength on one side, but what if it's counteracted on the other side? Like, how are you going to overcome these people or what they have? I think it's going to be very interesting to see what she does with next two books.
Yeah.
Curious.
And I think, okay, so the end of Onyx Storm, Zayden kind of succumbs. Because we know it's going to be a TV show. I can so, like, perfectly see that scene playing out of like he's standing there, he sees like he's been betrayed by Panchak or whatever the fucking guy's name is. The sage is standing there, he thinks that the sage is dead. Sage isn't dead, he's standing there. Bodhi or Garrick have turned and he's like, what the fuck? Sigale's under a net, like everything is going to shit. He looks out of the canyon, he sees Violet and Taryn like battling for their lives. He like looks over, he sees like all these other battles happening and he's just like, fuck.
Okay, yeah.
And like you see him just like drops to the ground, sucks all the magic up, and like the shadows just like explode from him. And he's killing like all of the Wyvern. Like he's still on the good side. He saves Dane and Kath. Like you can just see all this happening.
Yeah.
And like Violet at this point like realizes like, fuck. These shadows are not my baby boy. Like these are bad shadows. Like good shadows, but like
not good.
Oh, too much. Yeah. And that's when she like literally like throws the I love you down the bond and that like slips in and like cracks the ice. And that's when he like has a conversation with Sigale. And Sigale has been upset with Zayden the whole book, which is like really upsetting because like they love each other so much. And like Sigale being like, okay, like this plan, I think it could work. You're going to have to get Taryn on your side. Like Violet will basically do like whatever you want because she loves you, but like it'll be up to her and Taryn essentially. And we know that then Violet wakes up 12 hours later. She has no memory of what happened. So whatever the plan is, she was like, yes.
She
wholeheartedly
said,
agreed to.
Yes.
Marriage, everything. She was like doing whatever.
Whatever we need to do, we're going to do it. Yeah.
Imogen obviously wiped her memory as a way to protect her.
Yes.
Because they don't know who they can and can't trust. They're constantly being betrayed by so many different people from so many different angles. Yes, we trust Dane, but Dane is also, you know, he's at this point still, I think, especially in Zayden's head.
He could be swayed.
Yeah. So I think they had to wipe her memory as a way to protect her, as a way to protect Zayden, everybody, basically.
And Brennan does, again, going back to that moment where Brennan's like, we know what you two would do for each other. Like, we know you'd almost sacrifice all for each other. So
you have to
think of the overall world. Like, you have to protect everyone. You can't just protect one.
And of course Zayden's one thing, it's Violet and then it's Erasia. Like, it's his home.
Yes.
And that's why it makes sense that Bodhi would have turned, because otherwise it would have been left to Bodhi. I also don't think he trusts Bodhi to make the right decisions for Erasia, honestly.
He's easily swayed Bodhi. Yeah.
And he knows that Violet will sacrifice her entire self to protect everybody.
Mm-hmm.
One, he wanted to marry her because he's a simp. Two, he wanted to marry her as somebody to protect his home. And I think that we know that she was brought to the Temple of Dune as a baby.
Yes.
And the lady was like, oh, I don't know which way she's going to go. So mm-hmm. we're going to stop whatever, whatever's going on, we're going to stop it. So we know that she's potentially connected to the Temple of Dune.
Yes.
Zayden says at some point that the high priestess owes him a favor, which I think is the marriage.
Yes.
And I forget where I was going with all this, but the dreamwalking. I think that they're going to be separated a lot of the next book. I think the end of the next book will be their reunion.
Happen. It makes sense now for it to happen.
Yes. I think that there will be the reunion towards the end, because you can't keep them completely apart and then have the finale in book five is going to be whatever it is.
Yeah.
So, but I think because they're going to be separated, the dreamwalking, they are going to meet in their dreams. And I think it's going to be
cute.
I like it.
I'm excited for it. But again, I thought for sure they were going to be separated more so in this book, because Zayden was going to be all in his feels about potentially turning and not wanting to hurt anybody or Violet. I'm really glad that they had a countdown, but he was there.
Yes.
And I like that we're going into the second to last book with them separate, which I think makes way more sense than just separating them, because we know they're supposed to be at some point in time.
Yes. And it's I think that's why Rebecca kept them so entwined and really reiterated their bond and their love, because we're going to have to deal with a separation in the next book.
Yes.
And we're going to get dreamwalking. Some of it's going to be spicy, of course, because these two are horny as fuck.
They really are.
But I think it's going to be a way for them two to give each other information.
Yes.
And
share knowledge, strength.
Yes. So I'm excited to see how she writes that in, because I feel at first it's going to be Violet's going to be sick to her stomach, because she doesn't know what the fuck happened.
She's going to have a battle.
And she's going to eventually she's going to dream and she's going to wake up and she's going to be in a dream and she's going to be with Zayden. And then she's like, oh yeah, I could do this.
Yeah.
And he's not going to tell her shit and they're going to fight. But he's going to be like, this was the plan. You agreed to the plan, babe.
Just shut up and sit down. We'll figure this out. Yeah, we'll do this. I hope in the next book, I would assume we're going to, maybe in book five too, but really understand the motives of the dad and the mom. The mom was in charge of Mira.
Yeah.
Brennan's kind of whatever. I don't know. I feel like he's just whatever. And then there's a purpose. There was a purpose for Mira and there's a purpose for Violet. We don't know what either are and how they're supposed to come together. But I want to know the draw, what was at play. I want that full story. I need that,
yeah.
It was a rainy day and then we had this conversation. I want all that. I need that wrapped up at some point in time.
I know.
I'm dying to know. We're getting snippets. We clearly know the dad took her. Because even, I think it was at the end of chapter 52, the correspondence stuff. I love that shit.
I know.
When he gets back and she's what did you do to her? Like, yeah. We know what he did. Like, we know, but like, why? Like, oh.
And like, speaking of Brennan, though. Okay. So Brennan is saved by Naolin, who was Taryn's last rider. And Naolin, like, basically, like, burned himself out mending Brennan.
Yes.
And they, like, say something about Naolin. Like, he gave everything for Brennan. They were 100% lovers. And Naolin, I feel like, 100% turned Venon. Like, I don't think he died. I think he, like, turned.
Okay.
Taryn, like, broke the bond. And that's why Taryn was like, I don't want another rider. Because he, like, couldn't deal with, like, basically, I guess, I don't know. I have a feeling that, like, we're going to see Naolin. I think that's okay. Right. I feel like we're going to see him. I feel like him and Brennan are, like, in love. And I feel like there's just, like, something that's going to, like, work with, like, Brennan, Naolin, like, with, and now, like, Zayden, Violet. Like, there's something there.
Okay. I'm here for it. I'm also curious about the whole Andarna aspect. Like,
oh, the Irids.
Yes. Like, I know why she left.
Yeah.
I can understand it. It's still hurt, but I get it. She does come back. But like,
I also don't know that she necessarily like agreed to leave. Like Violet is like, you can go. Like, I understand.
But also,
And Adarna's like, oh, I don't know how to do. Like, she doesn't finish her sentence before
it's done.
I forget his name. Like, I'm just going to call him Leo because it was something like that. Like, kind of severs it.
Yes. I think he did it. I think his intentions,
I think
in his own mind, he believes what he's doing is right, but it might not, it's not necessarily right.
And I also think that he has knowledge that he does not trust to tell humans.
Correct.
So like bringing Andarna back to the island, maybe like teaching her or whatever on the breed and like what their magic can do and maybe on a cure or whatever it ends, whatever. I think that he is like, hey, like I can give you this information and then you can decide what you want to do with that. But we are not sharing this with humans.
Exactly. And I do think Andarna is going to open his eyes maybe a bit more. He's not going to ever like humans, but I think he might, I don't want to use the word like, I guess you could respect what they're doing and what like Violet's standing for. So I think it's going to kind of balance it out. Cause Andarna also she's a baby.
Yeah.
Even when she was like explaining like Violet and herself, I'm like, oh my God, you are an angel. But like, oh
my do you want to know what it reminded me of?
What?
In Frozen 2 with Olaf, when he's like, their parents are dead. Like that whole thing, like that was really Andarna explaining like, and then I like stopped time. And then I did this. And they were all like,
maybe you shouldn't be saying all this. Yeah. But that's like she's a baby. I'm saying the word immature. I don't mean it in a bad way. I'm just she's young. Like
she's basically like a preteen right now. Like she's an adolescent kid. Like
even with like the fact like the amount of times that Vi was like, hey, you stay right here, and she's like, yeah, okay. And like it was not where she like that's just such a like a 13-year-old move. Like you think you know everything, you think you can do it all, you think you can help in every single way, like you think you're the turning factor, but like you're not. Not yet. Yeah. Not yet. But like so I'm curious to see how she comes back. Like, is she gonna be like an 18-year-old when we come back? Like a little bit more mature, but like not but like where are we gonna land with Andarna?
I mean, that's the thing too. Like, did he sever the bond completely? Okay. This is my question. Because we know, first of all, Violet never loses connection to her dragons.
Never.
And I'm sorry, but on the one island when they were like, she was like, oh, it was just a coincidence that the lightning struck. Like, no, her magic works outside of whatever, outside of Navarre, Aracia. Yes. Like, it works on the islands.
I'm trying to
because she's pure magic. Like, right? Like, her signet is pure magic. Whatever. She can, whatever the word is, anywhere. Anyway, but we know that the Irids, they do that little like Bluetooth whistle and then they can like get into anybody's brains.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm wondering if the big dragon Leo or whatever, if he, I just like don't know that
this is Andarna to me.
Yeah. Dragon tails or whatever.
Yes.
Yeah. I don't know if he has the ability to sever a bond. Like, I think Darna would have had to do it herself. I think he could use his magic to sever the connection, but not the physical bond, because when she comes back and they're conversing, she could have just done the Bluetooth whistle like everybody else, but it just like doesn't make sense to me. And
it can't be that easy.
Right. And there was no way she just like left for like a week, came back while Violet was like MIA somewhere, rebond. I mean, it could have happened, but I just think that the bond wasn't severed. I think it was just muted. And that like when she came back, like it was.
There was a way that it was suppressed. So like there was an empty feeling, but Violet, I mean, this could be said for anyone. Maybe she's not looking deep enough to see like, oh, is there? Like if something comes so easy to you and then all of a sudden you lose it, how hard are you going to struggle to try to find it? You know what I mean?
Think about when they were on the islands and everybody lost connection to their dragons. They all were like in like, they all had anxiety. Like they all felt this certain way.
Mm-hmm.
And the connection was still there. They just couldn't access it.
Mm-hmm.
So to me, I don't think the bond was necessarily broken. I think it was muted so that like Andarna could leave and not feel like that like deep seated, like, need to like, I don't know. I just think that it was muted. Like, I don't know. I guess we're going to find out. But I, like, once she came back, I was like, oh, this bitch like really never left.
No, when she was there, I was like, yeah, you didn't go anywhere. You didn't go far.
No.
Like, and I have been watching, you've been paying attention. Like, he's teaching, because he also said to Andarna once he shows up again, I've been watching you. And they had no idea they were being watched. So like, yeah. I think it's the same situation. They're watching.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I also think that's like probably like a teaching method for like Andarna, for both of them actually. Like she's seeing things like from an out, like even though she was in it, it's now an outside perspective and he's going to teach her. But like maybe he can also start to see like there is a reason why these humans are fighting and doing this and you like and being with their dragons. Like it's not a bad thing.
No. And then I know like Taryn is in like a deep sleep right now from like whatever happened, but we don't know what happened. And I know somebody said, like, oh, he broke his mating bond with Sigale because they're not able to see. I don't think you can break a mating bond.
No.
Because then, like, that's just, like, then there's no reason for it. Then, like, why even have a mating bond if you can just, like, get divorced?
Separate, yeah.
Like, then just be together. I don't know. Like, I feel like a mating bond is, like, very, once you accept it, like, that's it.
I agree.
Again, this is, like, a different world, but that's just, like, what you see in, like, fantasy books. Otherwise, there's just, like, no stakes to a mating bond if you could just, like, sever it at any time. I do think something happened, and I think Imogen had to wipe his memory, too, because otherwise, why wouldn't he just tell Violet?
Well, it makes sense, right? Because, like, if Taryn knows something, he could pass that to Violet. So, like, I think it's, like, an all-or-nothing situation. You're right. Like, I think it's going to be, like, you can't just wipe one mind and not the other. Like, they both got to go for a little bit.
And I think, like, you know, him and Sigale have, like, not been apart for more than, like, 2 weeks. I think that was the max they were ever separated in Iron Flame. So I'm wondering how that will play out. I just, like, don't think that they're not, like, mated anymore. I just, like...
No, they definitely are.
And the six missing eggs, this was, like, another theory that I kind of thought. And then I saw it, that somebody else thought it. So I was like, oh, like, totes. Because we know Garrick can like walk through space and time or whatever. Garrick and Eric. Oh my God. Like saying them back to back, like sounds silly.
I know. It's like my kids' names when you're like, this sounds the same.
So I know that the one island they wanted 12 and 6 eggs are missing.
Yes.
So I feel like Eric being, you know,
Eric,
a prince. Yeah. He kind of is part, he's in on the plan because, you know, like he can see,
he has to, he, yeah, he's the one that's like basically knowing everything that's happening already.
Yeah, so I feel like
I think he's gonna be, not to cut you off, like I think he's gonna be very useful and strategic in the next couple books, and I'm excited because I like him. Like
I
feel
him
like
too.
He's this like silent, like funny, clever, like
at every island when he like knew the language and he just like would let Dane like struggle for a minute and then like step in and be like,
and then he's like, and he's like, oh, that's so great that you've been able to do this whole time. Yeah. Like, I'm so excited.
I know. So I feel like he, like, again, I feel like this was agreed upon with Sigale and Taryn. They took the 6 eggs to get more allies.
Mm-hmm.
Garrick probably like walked them from wherever to the island. I don't know. There's just something else at play here. Like, they're like, there's 4 missing dragons, 4 missing riders, 6 missing eggs.
there's something going on. Here's the story that we're getting. There is like a story under here that's like brewing, and that's gonna somehow like they're all gonna like mesh together.
Yeah. And I'm happy that Theophany's dead, but I kind of wanted to know more about like why she was so obsessed with Violet, because she seems to be like, it seems like that they're okay. So Navarre and Aracia are definitely, there's going to be a civil war or some kind of like, they're butting heads.
Yes.
And then there's like two sides to the Venon army too. It's like the Sage, and then it was Theophany.
Yes.
And like, so there is so much, there's fighting Venon versus Dragon Riders or whatever. And then there's like Navarre versus Aracia, and then there's like the two Venon groups, I think, that are like also I'm like, there's so much infighting happening that I don't really understand what's happening.
No, I agree. Sometimes I'm like, I'm just like a little lost, but we're just gonna keep going through this.
I was like, okay, so go. She wants Violet to join her, not the Sage.
So why?
And she also wanted Jack on her team.
Why? Why was Jack such like a we need him moment? Like, what's going on with him?
Right. And another thing, so all of the Venon who have turned have been power hungry.
Yes.
Like, they, like, want more power, they think they're owed something, whatever. Zayden, another thing about love, Zayden's the only one who turned for love, which is why I like love being the cure.
But that's, but again, it's like, how is that going to play out with, like, who he is? And, like, when he turns, like, does that, he's going to be different, but, like, how?
I don't know. And he can't kill the Sage. So I think that is like one of those things where it's like your maker, you can't kill your maker.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like that's going to play a part where like he's going to need somebody else to do it for him. But it can't be whoever turned with him. Like, I feel like whoever is like works under the Sage, when you become like whatever, you physically like cannot hurt like the person who's like in charge.
That makes sense.
And like if you kill a Venon, their wyverns die.
Mm-hmm.
So is it like if you kill the Sage, everybody under him would die? I don't think so. It's kind of like very Game of Thrones with like if you kill the Night King, then like all of the other ones died.
Yeah.
It sounds too easy. But then if Zayden is Venon, then like would he die too? Like again, I don't know if it works.
Yeah.
But something to think
about. Unless the love aspect makes him a little different and he can be saved. Maybe that's when like Brennan swoops into the rescue again or something. Like you don't know.
I know a lot of people don't trust Brennan. I think he's fine. I don't think you can really trust anybody wholeheartedly.
No.
The Imogen and Quinn scene was so sad.
That actually, I was taking a shower as I was listening to that scene. I think I had like 15 minutes left before I had to go get the kids, and like 15 minutes of the book. So I was like, I'm using every moment. I was like in the shower. I was like, I'm about to start crying in the shower.
It was so sad. Tears
are dripping down my face. This was so, like, what a moment.
I was like really happy that we got like kind of cut back and forth between like Rhiannon and Doran. Because I'm like, what's going on? Like, what are they doing at the pass? We get that sick scene with Riddick, like, flying upside down on his dragon and, like, freezing the Wyvern from the inside out. I was like, Riddick is so fucking powerful.
Yeah.
And then we cut to the Imogen scene, and, like, Dane's there helping. Again, sorry. I love Dane. And Quinn, it was just so sad. Like, that's her best friend. Like, they are soulmates.
And, like, I feel like she hammered that scene and the end so well, because, like, after she passes, she says, like, if Violet doesn't succeed, this was literally all for nothing. And, like, I just feel like that's so powerful at the end of that kind of a scene where, like, you see a death. She did it to sacrifice. Like, she ended up saving, like, others in the process.
Yeah.
But, like, it's true. Like, if Violet does not succeed, then what was her death for?
Right. Which I guess is just war in general. Like,
oh.
I know. I'm trying to, there's like so much more I feel like I want to discuss too. People are theorizing. Okay. I posted a video about it, and this girl is like fighting me in the comments. People are theorizing that Violet is pregnant.
No.
And I'm like,
no offense. I honestly think there's a time and a place for a pregnancy in a book.
Not
I don't think it's in book of three of this
war.
Series. Not in the war.
You're in the... Okay. One, Violet has a chronic illness, which would make her pregnancy high risk.
Yes.
If she could even carry to term. We don't even know, like,
yeah,
what would happen.
It would hinder her and her abilities and what they're doing.
So that's what I said in this video, basically being like, they're in the middle of a war. So unless you want an entire book of Violet being basically like stuck in a house, bedridden.
Yeah.
And like, yeah, she's smart and she could read a lot. And like, it could definitely be helpful that, like, she would.
We're taking 10 steps back with her character then. Then we're going right back to the beginning.
And I was like, you know, like, and this, so this girl, like, coming for me, she's like, so you're saying that, like, pregnant, like, women, like, have to be bedridden, like,
oh my god,
to be in the house barefoot? I'm like, no, but you can't fight in a war when you're pregnant. No. She was like, oh, pregnant women can work out. I said, okay, so she can work out. She can't hand-to-hand combat. She can't fight in a war. She can't, like, use daggers and swords and fly on a dragon.
As perspective, when you become pregnant, your body releases a chemical that makes everything in your joints and your ligaments relaxed.
And she already has.
And she already has lax joints.
Like, yeah.
So you think that this girl, as her pelvic floor and her pelvis starts shifting and turning, you think that SI joint's going to stay in place? You think her hips are going to be good? Mm-mm.
Her shoulders pop out every other, like, every
she
other
like turns and her shoulders dislocate. Like, her
knees have to be wrapped always. Yeah, yeah. Like, I'm like, this isn't like me being like, pregnant women have to stay home. It's just a fact, like, that somebody with a chronic illness who has joint issues, all this other stuff, isn't going to be hand-to-hand combat riding a dragon.
Even at, okay, so like, let's just plug me into the mix for 2 seconds. Like, let's use my pregnancies. I had no issues. I was able to work out. I was able to run, especially during the second one. That does not still correlate to me being able to fight in a war and ride a dragon. You can't ride a roller coaster pregnant. What makes you think you can go on a dragon?
Thank you. I said, girl, there's a lot that you can't do while pregnant. Doesn't mean that pregnant people can't do things, but like,
yeah. It's called safety for a reason. Like, you can't, like, she's just, that person's just being a little asshole. No offense if you're listening to this, but like, you're not saying that they can't do things in their bedridden. Like, she spun that real quick on you, but like, bitch, no, like, that's just.
I'm the first person to be like, women can do whatever the fuck they want to do, but a pregnant person cannot fight in a war. I'm sorry. Hard stop.
Yeah. If I literally went to my OB when I was pregnant and I was like, hey, I'm going to go to Six Flags or like one of the theme parks and go ride a roller coaster, they'd be like, no, you're not.
Also, you're not even supposed to fly on an airplane after a certain amount of time. You think she can fly in a dragon and not risk blood clots?
Yeah.
I don't know. It's just like, I'm just sorry. Like, there are things, you can't even eat friggin' turkey. You can have a turkey sandwich while pregnant. And you think you can do bowel rolls on a dragon? No, yeah. I'm sorry.
Half the time, they don't have water or food. They're like, they're running low. Or okay, let's talk about the biggest culprit, sleep. Yeah. There was one scene where Violet is literally like, I've been up for so long, I'm about to fucking hit the floor.
That's saying, like, you,
it doesn't happen.
Violet can be pregnant at the end of book 5. I'm all for it. I would love to see Zayden get that, like, that family. Like, he deserves a happy ending.
Yes.
So does Violet. And if a happy ending is a family, then I hope that they have that. But. Yes.
It doesn't make sense for books.
Pregnancy in the middle of war will literally just roll back the plot so far. It would put such a hindrance on book 4 that I don't think we can get to book 5 as a finale then, because not enough would be happening. This girl is going to be out, boots on the ground, looking for her fucking husband, looking for a cure, fighting Venom. And she can't do any of this if she has a babe, if she's with child. Yeah.
We would literally take Violet and all the development that she made. And again, I'm not saying that once you're pregnant, you can't.
No, but I'm saying for like, a war book, a book about war, in a magical system.
It doesn't make sense.
It doesn't make sense.
And I don't want to hear the ACOTAR comparison right now.
No, because, I'm sorry, but Feyre's not fighting the war with Highburn's over in Silver Flames. And Silver Flames is about Nesta. It's not about Feyre. So if you want to put, I don't know, make Sloane pregnant and
bedridden her, cool.
Again, just because you're pregnant doesn't mean you're bedridden, but you're bedridden in the sense of that you can't fight in a war if you're pregnant.
Correct. You are homebound.
Homebound. Especially, yeah. Especially,
you're on leave.
You're literally, you're in Ryerson House and you're being waited on. You are the Duchess.
I'm actually fairly sure in the military you would be on like a medical release.
You would be,
like,
yeah. You can,
there's
yeah.
no way they would send.
And again, yes. Can you serve while pregnant? Yes. If you have a desk job, you can't serve while pregnant in a combat zone.
No.
And Violet is in a combat zone.
It doesn't make sense.
It doesn't make sense. And if Rebecca writes it and I'm wrong, I will be the first person to say that I was wrong about this. It just doesn't make sense. I think it makes for bad storytelling.
Yes.
And I think it makes
Again,
it takes end of all the five, character development.
An epilogue. If we see that family, cool. I'm so fucking here for it. Or even like at the end of the story, and then like it jumps to an epilogue. Like we finish
right. pregnant. I don't care then, like, if eventually she ends up pregnant. It just she can't be pregnant in the next book. They're in the middle of a war. They're in the middle of a war against Venom and a war against Navarre.
And we're talking about magic powers. Like
she's lightning wielding. She's literally at almost burnout every time she wields. And you think that that a fetus can survive that? She's going to cook that little friggin' nugget. Anyway. I'll get off the pregnancy train, but I am fighting for my life in
which video? I actually haven't watched your videos yet, because I was like, I don't want to. I meant to watch them last night, but then I ended up finishing Comeback.
Yeah, I've destroyed that.
It's a very fast read. I'll have to watch them. Oh, the 54 comment one?
Probably. Well, there's one that's like unrelated. I'm looking at all my notes to see if we missed anything. I know that we're definitely missing something, and I'm going to be so annoyed when.
You are right. I'm looking at one of the comments on one of those things. She's constantly taking a fertility suppressant.
Yeah. Oh, that too. Yeah. Again, the fertility suppressant is mentioned in the fourth wing. They don't need to mention it every single time they fuck. It was mentioned. We know that she's on a fertility suppressant. Okay, yeah. We know, like, again, yes, children and babies and stuff are brought up a lot in Onyx Storm for some reason. But we know that Violet, in hot and humid climates, feels nauseous and gets lightheaded. That is something that we've known about since Fourth Wing. Like, there are all these things that, like, we've known about. We also just know that she has chronic illness and that her body... It takes a little, like, she has limitations and it takes her a while to bounce back, like, more than like a person who doesn't have those limitations. And just because a woman feels nauseous and lightheaded in a book does not always equal pregnancy.
I agree. I was nauseous the other day. I wasn't pregnant. I had the stomach virus.
I'm nauseous a lot and I don't have a uterus. So nausea does not always equate to pregnancy. Sometimes it equates.
People are just like going at. Yeah, you. This really is a thread.
Yeah, it's like most people are agreeing with me. It's just one girl who's like, just because she's pregnant, she can't fight in war. And I'm like, yeah, actually. Anywho, I'm sure that I'll think about something and probably just like we'll talk about it at a different time. This is all I can think about right now. Next week, we will be talking with Rebecca Jenschak about the comeback. Then we will do a Spilling the Tea episode. And then I know that we talked about what we were going to do after. I think Deep End and Quicksilver. So stay tuned for the calendar. But those, mm-hmm. I think, are the books / schedule we're going to do.
I'm here for it.
All right. Well, I mean... I don't have anything else. I'm sure I could keep talking about this book. I have like a million things to say. But on that note, Katie Jean, can you please send us out?
Bye. Bye.
Thank you so much for listening to our episode. We hope you enjoyed it. Be sure to subscribe to receive notifications anytime a new episode drops.
You can follow us on Instagram and TikTok at thebff.bookclub. If you have any comments, questions, book recommendations, or books you want us to talk about in future episodes, please send us an email at thebff.bookclub1@gmail.com.
We appreciate your support.
See you, fuckers.